take your Bible and find 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to bring you a message this morning I've entitled A Pastor Worth Appreciation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to begin reading in verse number 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and who give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Would you pray with me today? God, we're grateful to lift up the name of Jesus in this place. He is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. And Father, we have sensed His presence here. And Lord, we're just praying that through the Word, as we lift up to You our hearts to say, Lord, speak truth to us. Lord, convict us. Lord, help us to be more like Christ in our spirit and in our attitude and in our love. And so, Father, we pray that Your blessings would rest upon the preaching and teaching of Your Word today. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to say to you this morning that you're going to get a pastor soon, don't know how soon, but you're going to get a pastor soon, and from his start date, exactly 2 years to the day, you're going to be looking for another pastor. Another pastor in 2 years. You'd be like, oh, don't say that. In particular, the people right now who should be moaning and groaning are the search committee. The search committee should be like, oh, please. You mean another 190 resumes to go through? Are you kidding me? 2 years from now? I mean, wouldn't that be just devastating in terms of the momentum and in terms of the future of the church? You say, oh, we'd have to start over. And then what if we said this? What if we said the same committee would need to do it again? Because we didn't like who you brought the first time. You're going to have to do it again. That committee would like is ready to shoot me right now and hang me up, right? Because that's not what we want to see happen here at Emmanuel. We don't want to see a 2-year stint and then a 3-year stint and then a 4-year stint. We don't want to see that. That is an unhealthy pastoral tenure. What we want to see is God's man come and plant his life and stay here for a very long ministry. Years and years and years and years and years. That's what we want. Now, here's the key for that happening is what I'm going to tell you today. The key to that kind of relationship being established is that you as a church find in your hearts a deep appreciation for the pastor that God brings here to this church. Some of you who listen to the radio know that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Focus on the Family sponsors it every year. And do you know that there are churches where I have been at and preached and asked the church, what's the last thing you've done for your pastor in terms of Pastor Appreciation Month? And they have said to me, some have said, Pastor Appreciation Month, what's that? That's not a good sign. And others have said, oh, it's been a good 10 years since we've done anything to show appreciation to our pastor and his family. Look, I want to make sure that you're not calling the seminary in 2 years and saying, hey, is that Heisler fella still over there? We'd like to get him back because we need another interim and now we got to go through this whole thing again. No, I want to see you as a church love and encourage and appreciate the man that God sends here to be your pastor and his family and to love them and bless them. And that's exactly what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about. I was reading this week in the Biblical Recorder. I don't know how many of you get that paper, but it was an interesting page that had churches that were sending in notes of appreciation concerning their pastors. I thought I would give you a couple of these. Here's the pastor at First Baptist Church, Larnenburg. It says, although our pastor, Reverend C.F. McDowell III, has been with First Baptist Larnenburg for only a few years, we have been tremendously blessed by his ministry. Reverend McDowell is a compassionate, kind, and attentive and selfless person. In times of crises, he can be counted on to be there for his congregation and families. Through the depth of his biblical knowledge, he engages us during his timely sermons to remember God's love for us, and he challenges us to find our places of service. Listen to this. We appreciate and we love this servant of God who is indeed a rare jewel. You ever thought of a pastor that way? Man, our pastor is a rare jewel sent from God. Here is Alex Smith, pastor at Baptist Chapel Church. We love Pastor Alex Smith, his wife, Cheryl, and the children, Carrie and Danny. He brings so much spiritual joy and enthusiasm. We would like to say thank you. You are appreciated. Here's the pastor at Oakdale Baptist Church. He has true compassion for people. He lives his life in appreciation of the awesome gift of salvation. He laughs, he cries, he loves, he smiles, and he leads others to Christ. There's a church that's appreciating their pastor. And then I thought this was a good one. Daryl Garner, Hickory Grove Baptist Church, Bear Creek, has been there for 24 years. Reverend Garner answered the call of God to be our pastor 24 years ago. These 24 years have been a blessing. Reverend Garner is a man of God. He's a Bible preaching man. He doesn't add to or take away from the scripture exactly like God's word says. He visits the shut-ins and the sick and the hospitals and families that have lost loved ones. That's when he's at his best. The care and love for his Lord is shown so much for the love of his people in our congregation. We love him a lot. Yeah, I was preparing for this message. I was just wondering, you know, what is Emmanuel's going to say when this article is brought out in the years to come? And we're going to see an article from Emmanuel Baptist Church. We're so thankful that God sent us this pastor who has just been here a few years but already has made an impact on us. That's the type of appreciation that a pastor, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12, is worthy of. You begin your Bible in verse 12 where it says this, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you." Now, this isn't a polite asking here. This word is to urge, to exhort. This is a strong word here that we're pleading with you, brothers and sisters, to appreciate those who diligently labor among you. The appreciation word here means to honor. It means to respect. It means to acknowledge the worth of. It means to know and to recognize the importance of. I think you have realized as a church, in the absence of a pastor, that we have a committee who's searching, because we realize the importance of having a permanent full-time senior pastor here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And so they're charged with going out and searching and praying and finding that individual that God is calling to this place, because we understand the importance of the pastor. We understand that the pastor is given as a gift from God to the church, that he might lead the church, that he might feed the church, that he might shepherd the church. And the Bible here says that an individual like that is worthy of our appreciation. They're worthy of honor. They're worthy of respect. They're worthy of saying, "I know how important you are. I'm so glad that God called you to this place. And I recognize your critical role here at Emmanuel." That's the type of word that's used here, the importance of a pastor worth appreciation. So we're urging you strongly that you're appreciating. And then look at the appreciation, what it's to be given for: those who diligently labor among you. First and foremost, you should appreciate your pastor's labor. Appreciate your pastor's labor. The word here means those who are diligently laboring. That's a strenuous labor. It's a toil. It means to work oneself physically and mentally and spiritually. Every once in a while, I have a joker who'll say this. They'll say, "Man, I wish I had your job. Man, 3 hours a week, that's awesome. I wish I could do that. You get to play games and go golf and goof off the rest of the time." I remember Pastor Johnny Hunt got fired up about this a while back at a pastor's conference, and he said, "I challenge any one of my members, meet me at the office at 6 a.m. and see if you can hang with me for a day. He's a busy guy because he's got a ministry and he's got people to shepherd over. And there's that attitude sometimes, oh, well, the pastor's job is just this easy job. No, Paul describes it here as labor intensive. It's work. And listen, anybody who comes to the church as a candidate for you better understand that the work of the ministry is hard. It's labor. If you interview a candidate and they say, I'm looking for an easy job, this isn't the place that they need to come. Because pastoral ministry is, by its very nature, a labor-intensive ministry. He says, you're going to work yourself emotionally. You're going to toil physically. You're going to spiritually feel the drain of just being a pastor and meeting the needs of people. It's a labor in prayer. It's a labor in prayer to lift people up to the Lord and to intercede for them and to show them as a shepherd, devoting yourself to prayer. Lord, I'm praying. I'm getting under the burdens of these people. It's a labor in preaching week in and week out to study God's word and to come with a message from God and to say, Lord, I'm laboring in your word this week because I want Emmanuel to have the best. I want Emmanuel to have a message from God's word for this moment and hour. That's a labor as you explain and apply scripture. It's a labor in shepherding and caring. It's hard to bear the burden. What do you do when you're the pastor and someone comes and says, pray for me, my mom was just diagnosed with cancer. Our little girl has leukemia. Our son committed suicide. My husband has been unfaithful. Our daughter is pregnant out of wedlock. It's a labor to be under the burdens with your people and to love and encourage them and pray them and counsel them through those times. It's a labor to protect the flock. It's a labor to get outside the four walls of the church and reach the neighborhood and the community and the state and the world with the gospel. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove in vain. Here's what he says, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It's a labor. It's a work of love. 1 Timothy 4:10, he says, for it is for this we labor and we strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Ministry is hard. Ministry is work. Early mornings, late nights, long days. That's what a shepherd does. So you ought to appreciate your pastor for his labor. The second thing he says is that we need to appreciate the pastor for his leadership. Look at what it says in your Bible. He says, appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord. Here we're appreciating the pastor and his leadership who have charge over you in the Lord. This word charge means to keep watch over. It means to lead and to protect and to care for. That's part of pastoral ministry. And so you find an individual who says, well, I just want to preach. I don't want to do any of the leadership that comes with pastoring. That's not the individual that we want. We want an individual who understands not only is the pastor's job a love of labor, but it's also a job of leadership. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And then listen to this. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. One of the ways you have a pastor executing his duties in joy is the fact that his people appreciate his ministry and they're not afraid to let him know. They're not afraid to encourage him. They're not afraid to physically just let him know with a hug and a handshake, man, I appreciate what you're doing. A note of encouragement that says, Pastor, thank you for leading us. Thank you for being such a faithful shepherd and a leader of this church. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over you. And that's a great understanding for us as a church to say, if we can't follow their leadership, then they're not the person that we want to pastor the church. You see, he's saying here, look, that you ought to appreciate those who are working. You ought to appreciate those who are leading. And when you see the pastor working, and you see the pastor leading, and you see the pastor, the next one, feeding, is what it says, and give you instruction. So not only do you appreciate your pastor's labor, you appreciate your pastor's leadership, but now you appreciate your pastor's teaching. Any of you who think that it's easy to get up here and do this, next week, let me know. We'll give you a shot up here, because you know what? It's not. It's not easy. It's not easy to get under the burden of Scripture and to come prayed and prepared and deliver a message from the Word of God to people week in and week out, and to love them through your teaching and love them through your preaching. But listen, it's a calling from God. It's what God calls men to do who pastor. And they say, look, God's called me to do this, and I know that's what I'm supposed to do because it's of the Lord. And so he says, appreciate those who are giving you instruction. It's the same thing he says in 1 Timothy 5:17. Listen to this. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Look, we want a pastor who's a good preacher, who's a good teacher, and you know what we need to do? We need to appreciate that. We need to recognize the worth of that. We need to know the importance of that. We've got to have a good teacher and preacher in the pulpit. We've got to have a good pastor who leads us. We've got to have a good pastor who's not willing to, who's not afraid to roll up his sleeves and go to work, who give you instruction, who teach you what's right, what's wrong, conduct-wise and doctrinally-wise from the Bible. That's the kind of individual you want to appreciate. Someone in the pulpit who's faithful. Someone in the pulpit who's consistent. You know, every once in a while you have this idea when it comes to preaching that, you know, we've got to have this superstar in the pulpit who would just wow us with some kind of spectacular message week in and week out. That's not what he says here. He says, in essence, what you're looking for is somebody who will be faithful week in and week out. The idea here is consistent and faithful, putting the food down on the table for the flock to eat. Every once in a while you'll say, well, we need a pastor who's like the magician, and halfway through the sermon he pulls out this rabbit out of his hat, and we're like, oh, that guy's just awesome. Look at that. We never saw that one coming. And that's not the idea of the New Testament. Mark Dever said it best. He said, pastors, quit trying to hit a home run each week and just try to get on base, a base hit. A base hit. Man, our pastor's up there. He's consistent. He's faithful. It's a base hit. It's a base hit. He's in the Word. He's applying the Word. He's illustrating the Word. He's lifting up Christ from the Word. He's consistent and he's faithful. He's putting food on the table. That's what we're after. Not a fireworks display with a grand finale every week and we all go away, oh, this is just incredible. No, it's faithful preaching, faithful application, faithful to Christ and the gospel. Steady, consistent, and you know what you're going to get week in and week out. Appreciate your pastor's teaching and your pastor's preaching. So many of you do such a great job with that week in and week out. You're always encouraging to me at the back door. You are very easily puffing up my head and I deflate on the way out the door. But it's just good for a pastor to hear, hey, that hit the spot. That's what I needed. Man, you're encouraging me. You're teaching me. You're instructing me. You're helping me. And so that's a great blessing. Keep that up for your next pastor. Make sure he knows that his teaching and preaching is appreciated. All right, so now look what it says in the next verse. And that you esteem them very highly in love. The word could be to regard highly or think very highly of them. It means to have a high regard or to hold a high view of. That's what the word esteem means. And so here he says, appreciate them for their labor, for their leadership, for their preaching and teaching. And then he says, esteem them. And then this is an interesting word. Very highly. Very highly. The word literally means beyond what you would think would be normal. That's what it means. It is a super intensive word in the original language that means above and beyond what you would think reasonable. He says you really need to have an esteem and a regard, a respect, a love for your pastor. You need to hold him in high regard. And so the text goes on to say it this way, that you would esteem them highly, very highly in, look at this, here's the key, in love. Do you love your pastor? Can you already, before you meet your new pastor, have a predetermination in your heart to love him before you ever meet him? God, whoever you bring, I'm going to love him. God, whoever is God's man for this church, I'm going to appreciate them. See, you're sitting there, you're going, well, I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, I may not like his personality. I may not like his sense of humor. I might not like the goofy facial expressions he makes while he's preaching. I mean, you can pick a million things. But look at what that text goes on to say. Love them because of what? What's it say, church? Love them because of what? Because of their work. Because of their responsibility. Because of their calling. Because of their office. See, sometimes in church, don't we do this? We'll say, well, I'll love him as long as I agree with him. But the moment I disagree with him, I'm not going to love him. That's not what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is teaching us, is it? I'm going to love my pastor because of his work, because of his office, because of his responsibility, because of his high calling that he has from God. Now listen, all of us probably don't agree in politics about politicians and their various stances, but I would dare say this. Oh, I don't know if I should or not. I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to take a risk here. Y'all ready? If somebody walked in that door and announced the President of the United States, Barack Obama, was here today, a little late, by the way, Barack, but you're here, I would guess that out of respect for the office, you would stand up because the President of the United States was here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I know I would. Not because I'm in agreement with the person, but because of his office. His office is the office of the presidency of the United States. So I would stand up if somebody announced that and show the due respect due to the office. See, that's the idea here. Paul says you've got to look beyond the personality quirks, and you've got to look beyond the disagreement. You've got to look beyond that to see that this is the man that God has called here to work the field that he has placed him here at Emmanuel, and you are to come alongside him and in love respect him and esteem him. The elders who rule well are considered worthy of a double honor. He says, esteem them very highly because of his role, because of his office, because of his responsibility, and because of his high calling. It's a difficult truth, but it's the truth. It's the truth of that text. Esteem them very highly in love, and that's the key to love your pastor. It's agape love, by the way, the highest form of love, a sacrificial love. That you're sacrificially loving and giving to that shepherd because he's sacrificially loving and giving to you. It's a beautiful picture of the love of Christ filling the pastor's heart and filling the congregation with a relationship of love. And it's because of their work. Appreciate your pastor. Esteem him in your thinking. Hold in high regard his ministry, his sacrifice, his work among you. And then look what it says. Verse 13, the second part there. Live, and it's an imperative command. Live, I'm commanding you, live in peace with one another. All right, I've gotten all kinds of gifts. This is a true story. All right, my first church at a seminary, I got a $500 gift card to Joseph A. Banks. My first church right out of seminary. The guy who handed it to me said, I'm tired of seeing you in those two suits every other Sunday. Honest truth. That's what he said. He said, I'm tired of seeing you in those suits, Pastor. You need to go to Joseph Banks and get some clothes. I mean, sure enough, I did. And I was like, wow, this is really neat. You know? I mean, my wife and I have gotten gift cards when I was a pastor. You know, hey, go away for the weekend, take her over here. All these kinds of neat things, okay? Wonderful things, great ideas, all right? But I will tell you this, as a pastor, the greatest gift you could ever give your pastor is right there in verse 13, that you would live at peace with one another. You want to know how a pastor will be gone in 2 years? If every day he has to come to Emmanuel and put on the referee shirt and referee the fights that are happening, then that will make his life what? Miserable. He says, look, you want to keep a pastor? You want to have a guy here for 15, 20 years? Then here's what you're going to have to do. I'm not saying this to you as advice. It's a command from Scripture. Live at peace with one another. And what that means is there ought to be the absence of strife in the body of Christ. That we learn to be patient with one another and to overlook faults and to not take everything to heart every time we make a mistake or every time we have an issue that we need to forgive and put behind us. The text says that you're to live in peace with God, and it means that there should be the presence and enjoyment of whole and harmonious relationships. The presence and the enjoyment of whole and harmonious relationships. Not broken fellowship or broken relationships, but here it is. Live in harmony with one another. That's what Paul says in Romans 12, 16. Live in harmony with one another. I think that's the greatest gift that you can give to your pastor. He says in Romans 12, do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And then listen, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. My people love me, I love my people, and they're able to get along with each other. They live peaceably with one another. That's the idea there. Be at peace among one another. A great gift that you could give a pastor. And then he says this as he continues to talk about the fellowship and the congregation. He says, we urge you strongly, brethren. And here's four keys that are the key to living together. And with these I close. How do you live at peace with one another? Somebody's sitting out there and they're saying to themselves, yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I want to live at peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Before our pastor gets here, I just want to be known as a person of peace, a person of love. And what does that look like? Here are four things that you can do. The first is admonish the unruly. That's what he says. He says that there will be those who are unruly, that is disorderly, that is they are neglecting their duties. It could also be translated undisciplined. And there needs to be those among the brothers and sisters. And that's interesting. When you study this text, these truths are in the plural. We urge you all to admonish each other. We urge you all to encourage the faint-hearted. We urge you all to help the weak. And we urge you all to be patient with everyone. So the first one is to admonish. Admonish is to teach, and to teach what? The unruly, the disorderly, those who are undisciplined, to say to them, look, you need to knock that off. That's not honoring God and honoring Christ. The next one, he says, is to encourage. The word means to console the faint-hearted. You see what Paul does? He's so smart here. He says, take the focus off yourself and put it on someone in the congregation that's faint-hearted. That word faint-hearted means discouraged. Those who are losing heart and losing strength, they're worried and they're fearful. And he says, you need to come alongside them and you need to encourage them. You need to console them as part of living at peace with one another. Take your eyes off of your own problems and off of your own issues and put it on someone who's truly in need and watch how that brings peace to the congregation. Teach them and watch how that brings peace to the congregation. And then it says, help the weak. The word literally means to take hold of and to support. That when you see somebody around you who's weak, you see somebody around you who needs help, the Scripture tells us to take hold of them. Man, take hold of them. Say, I'm here to support you. I'm here to encourage you. Literally, it means I'm here to assist in supplying whatever is needed. Part of a peacemaking church and a peacekeeping church is that your focus is to help the weak. And then look at what it says. I didn't say it. God said it. He commands us to be patient. Now, I don't know about you. That's one of the big ones. That's a challenge for me. Be patient. The word in Greek is makrothumos. And I just tell you how neat this word is. Macro as opposed to micro. Macro means big or long. And thumos is the word we get for thermometer. Okay, the English word thermometer, which is a measurement of what? Of heat. And so here's what the word means. Macro thumos means it takes a long time for you to get heated up. It's a good word picture. takes a long time for you to get heated up, that you're able to be level-headed, that you're able not to, at every inconvenience or at every disagreement, that you're one who's known for flying off the handle. That's his point here. He says, if you're ever going to live at peace with one another, you've got to be patient with everyone. You've got to be long-suffering with everyone. It's got to take you a long time to really get heated up and mad in a situation. You've got to learn to keep your cool. Long-suffering. Exercising understanding. It's the opposite of someone who is quick-tempered. And then he says in verse 15, see that no one repays evil with evil. That's a great way to live in peace. Don't be paying each other back evil for evil. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to take it out on them. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. That's a great way to interact as a fellowship, to preserve the harmony and the peace so that the pastor's work is not a burden, but it's a joy and its appreciation is evident to everyone. And then he says this in verse 16. I love these. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And then what does he say? For this is God's will. This is God's will. People ask me all the time, they're like, man, what is the will of God? And is it this really mysterious thing that, you know, nobody knows what it is, and we're all trying to figure it out, and it's just some kind of a hidden cosmic, you know, revelation that you've got to really, you know, figure out. Now, here's what his will is. How about this one for size? Why don't you be a church? Why don't you be a church member who rejoices always? We got any rejoicing always people in here? I'm going to tell you what, I like to hang out with Rejoice Always people. They always have a way of picking me up, especially if I've had... Here's what he says. You know what? Regardless of your circumstances, you need to be rejoicing. You need to be praising God. This is a life of worship, continually rejoicing, never-ending rejoicing in who? In God. Now listen, this is different from happiness. Happiness depends on things happening in your life in a certain way that you want them to happen. And when they don't happen that way, you get big lip unhappy. That's what happiness is all about. But no, this is different. This is rejoice. This is rejoice. This is beyond circumstances. This is waking up and having breath in your lungs. And you know the scripture says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what this is. And I want to tell you, you want to keep a pastor? You want a pastor to be around here for 20 years? You want a pastor worth appreciating? Why don't you rejoice around him? Why don't you rejoice in the Lord with him? Why don't you be a person who's rejoicing, not a person who always looks like they've been sucking on a sour lemon, but somebody who's what? Who's rejoicing in the Lord. Now look at the next one. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. Pray all the time. Pray when you're driving. Pray especially when you're driving. Just don't close your eyes, right? Pray without ceasing. Everything is a prayer opportunity in your life. Pray with people. Pray for people. Stop and pray and give that to God in prayer. Show an absolute dependence on God. Pray in every situation, every circumstance. Pray. Rejoice. Pray. Are those hard? No. But why do we so little practice those? And then the last one, just give thanks. Just give thanks. Give thanks. You ever down? Give thanks for Jesus Christ. Give thanks for the gospel. Give thanks for the good news of the Savior who shed his blood on Calvary's cross, died for us as sinners, separated from God, reconciled us to God through his death, and 3 days later was raised from the grave. That's something you can give thanks for every single day. That's what eternity is going to be like. And so here's the picture of this church. The picture of this church is one of appreciating their leadership. The picture of this church is living at peace with one another by admonishing one another, encouraging one another, helping one another, being patient with one another. And then he says, here's what we need to be about. Worshiping, rejoicing, praying, praising, and in everything, giving thanks. And this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just got to ask the question today, do you have a predetermination in your heart to appreciate the pastor God sends to this place before you ever meet him or meet his family? God, whoever you send, I'm going to appreciate. God, whoever you send, I'm going to love. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to be in their corner And I'm going to be the person who's praying for them, the person who's rejoicing because God sent them, and giving thanks in everything, because I understand that's the will of God in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I just want to ask you today, church, to pray that God will send you a pastor worthy of appreciation. That God will send you a pastor worthy of appreciation. And friend, maybe today God dealt with you, maybe your attitude, maybe your lack of love for the previous pastors who have been here. Maybe there's a hurt. Maybe there's something that took place 5, 10 years ago, and you've been nursing it into bitterness and anger. And God's talking to you today to say it's time to forgive. It's time to repent. It's time to ask the Lord to put your hope in His future. Do you esteem? Do you think highly of? Do you appreciate so much that shepherd? Because friend, I don't want Emmanuel to have a pastor for a year or two and then he's gone. Have another pastor for another couple years and then he's gone. Church, if you will learn to love and appreciate your pastor, he'll stay. Because you're following God's word. So Lord, we pray together as a family for our pastor search committee. God, we pray for them that they will have your mind and your wisdom to bring a pastor who's worthy of appreciation, who is leading and laboring in his teaching and preaching is worthy of appreciation. A man whom, because of his love for Christ and the office that he holds, is worthy of our high regard. And Father, help us to tune out our personal preferences, tune out all the anger and all the frustration from years before, and Lord, help us instead, through repentance and faith, to look to Christ Jesus, to do what only He can do, to bring this church a faithful shepherd. And God, I pray that Emmanuel will be a peaceful church, a church full of whole and harmonious relationships, where the love of Christ is felt and known and expressed. A mature church, a faithful church, a church that loves its pastor. As we begin our invitation time, you're welcome to come and pray about whatever God has put on your heart today. Others may want to come for salvation. They've never trusted Christ before. We invite you to come. Others may need to come and join the church today. We invite you to come. Others may want to present themselves for baptism. And this is an invitation for you to do whatever you believe God is putting on your heart to do. Maybe you simply just need to come and pray that your attitude toward this new pastor would be one of love and encouragement and appreciation. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.